Here in the U.S., new census figures show population growth is at its slowest pace since the end of World War I, growing just half a percentage point over 1 year. William Fry is senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. And William, this slow growth is driven in part by a drop in immigration. Just under 600,000 immigrants were added to the population this year. What's happening?
Yeah, you know, we've had ups and downs in immigration really over the last decade. Just 3 years ago, we had over 1 million immigrants coming to the U.S. I think, you know, some of the new restrictions on immigration had something to do with it. But it is an unusually low number. We haven't seen the low number of less than 600,000 for quite a while in the United States. So I wouldn't say this is a long-term trend. I would say that part of it is mostly a blip.
Let's also talk about the fertility rate. We've been hearing about this for quite a while, but what do we know about how many children Americans are having and how big of a factor this is in this number?
Sure. I mean, earlier this year, we've learned that the net reproduction rate, which is the average number of children that women have over their childbearing years, has gone down again. It's been a constant decline in the last few years. We also see that there is a delay in childbearing. It continues to be a decline in women in their 20s having children and somewhat of an uptick of women in their 30s having children. And so this kind of putting off of having children is part of what we see some of this decline. I think a bit of this has to do with the famed millennial population who are still trying to get out from under the Great Recession of 10 years ago in terms of moving on with their lives, getting jobs, buying homes, having families. And so, again, I think although we'll see a longer term moderation of fertility in the United States, this may be a little bit of a blip downward because of the continued issues with that millennial generation.
And thinking about the regional differences and what we're seeing population wise, where are you seeing the biggest changes?
Well, the biggest gains are in the Mountain West and in the Southeast. If you look at the fastest growing states over the last year with these new numbers, you see Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah being the top fastest growing areas. But soon after that is Texas, South Carolina, Washington, Colorado, Florida, and North Carolina rounding out the top 10. So there's a lot of migration moving inward from California. We didn't talk about California, but California has shown a dip in its growth over the last 10 years. Not as high a growth in some of the northeastern states. You know, this is continued kind of a movement from the snow belt to the sun belt, but also in the case of California, moving away from kind of a pricey, high cost of living area to maybe places around California where the cost of living is a little lower and it's the economy's picking up a little bit.
Can we bring in politics here? Some of the states losing populations, as you mentioned, including blue states like California, while red sunbelt states like Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and Texas, as you mentioned, are gaining population. With the census taking place next year, do you expect these population shifts are going to result in political changes in terms of congressional representation?
Yeah, the 2020 census, of course, is the basis of making this reapportionment of Congress. And, you know, as I see it from the calculations I've done with the standard formula, Texas could gain 3 seats, Florida could gain 2 seats. California fairly likely could lose a seat for the first time in its history. So that's kind of interesting. You might think this is only going to favor red states, but some red states are going to be losing a seat by these projections as well. Alabama, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all states that voted for President Trump in the 2016 election, as well as West Virginia, will lose seats according to this. And there'll be a couple of blue states that might gain seats, including Oregon and Colorado. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. The other thing to think about here, though, is that you might think that Texas being a red state and Arizona being a red state, you could look ahead and say the Republicans are going to be in pretty good shape over the next 10 years, which, of course, how these reapportionments last. But some of the people moving into those states are likely people who might vote Democratic, a lot of Hispanics, a lot of African Americans in the case of North Carolina, and maybe some blue state migrants moving to these areas. So it's hard to predict the actual political implications of all of this, but the demography does show a continued movement to the Sun Belt and more into the Mountain West, just like the overall population's trends are going.
Yeah, you're someone who thinks about population a lot. And of course, you've talked about the political implications and ramifications, perhaps. But what would you tell someone wondering why all of this matters if the population grows at a slow rate?
Well, you know, certainly you don't want to have a loss of population, and there actually were 10 states that lost population last year. That's not so good. But an underlying implication of a declining population or even a slow-growing population, as it is in the U.S., is that there's an increased aging of our population. There is this big generation of baby boomers, all of whom are going to be past age 65 by the year 2030, 10 years from now. They're going to be dependent on the success and productivity of the younger labor force. And the big safety valve in all of this is immigration. You know, a lot of our decline of births, or at least slow growth of births, can be countered by immigration from abroad. And so immigration is going to be a much bigger part of our growth. So this is something to pay attention to as we move ahead into the next decade. What is our immigration policy going to be? How are immigrants going to fit into the rest of our society and the rest of our economy?
William Fry is a demographer and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. William, thank you for joining us.
Sure, I enjoyed it.